You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
When I was in high school, I had to undergo an emergency appendectomy. It was a brutal day, bright lights, cold room, total surrender of control. I was literally inviting this surgeon to take a sharp piece of steel and cut into my body. Now, it sounds like an act of violence, but I understood that if the surgeon didn't cut, then the infection inside me would have killed me. The cut was the only way to a cure. Today, we're looking at one of the most famous passages in the New Testament, Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. I don't know if you've read it before. I really encourage you to check out the entire chapter. But this passage, I like to call the soul surgery passage. If you're a Latter-day Saint or a former Mormon, you're used to the Bible being treated like a library of helpful advice or part of the standard works to be studied, even though most Mormons that I've talked to didn't actually ever read the Bible. They mainly read the Book of Mormon. But Hebrews says that the Bible isn't just a book to be read or ignored. It's actually a scalpel used by the great physician to save your life. And for many people who are coming out of a high-demand religious system, they've spent years trying to bandage themselves up to look worthy. Today, we're going to talk about why we need to let God take those bandages off. There's a unique kind of mask wearing that happens in the LDS culture. It's the "I'm doing great," quote-unquote, smile in the foyer. It's the pressure to ensure your family looks perfect for the ward. They become experts at managing that outer man. They focus on the things that people can see. Their callings, their white shirts, their ties, their dresses, their temple recommends. But inside, there's a quiet desperation. There might be doubts about Joseph Smith, frustration with the local leadership, maybe a crushing sense of guilt because despite all the work, you don't actually feel clean. The author of Hebrews writes to people who were trying to play more or less the same game. They were trying to look like faithful Jews on the outside while their hearts were drifting away from Jesus. To them and to us today, it's like the author is saying, stop hiding. It's not working anyway. Let's look at the text. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Now, we have to understand what the word meant to the original audience. To a Greek philosopher, the logos, the word, was the logic of the universe. To a Jew, the word was the power by which God created the heavens. But the book of Hebrews and also John's gospel takes it a step further. The logos, the word, isn't just a principle, it's a person. In Mormonism, you're taught that the word of God is a collection of books, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, etc. And because of the plain and precious parts narrative, you're taught that the Bible might be unreliable in its translation. So this creates kind of a distance between you and the text as far as the Bible is concerned. But Hebrews says the word is alive. It's not talking about the Book of Mormon or the Doctrine and Covenants or the Pearl of Great Price. It's talking about Jesus himself. And I believe it's also talking about the word, the Bible that we have today, which is reliable. See, the Bible isn't just a dusty record of what God said. It's the living Christ speaking through Scripture now. So when you read the Bible, it isn't just you studying a book, it's better to think of it as the book studying you. And the author in Hebrews 4 says that this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, the Greek word here is the word makaira. This wasn't the big, heavy broadsword that a soldier used on a battlefield to hack off a limb. The makaira was a short dagger. It was the weapon of choice for precision. It was also the knife used by priests to skin sacrificial animals, and by physicians for surgery. So think about that imagery for a second. God's word doesn't come at you with a sledgehammer to crush you. It comes with a precision blade to separate. Back to the verse, it says, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Now this, by the way, is not a lesson in human anatomy. The author is saying that God's word penetrates to the places that you can't even define yourself. In the LDS experience, the soul and spirit are, a lot of times they're blurred by feelings, right? Maybe you've said this before. I felt a burning in my bosom, so it must be true. I don't know if Mormons think of the soul or the spirit or how they understand that, but the point really for now is that feelings are notoriously unreliable. They can be manipulated by music, by community pressure, or even by your own desires to belong somewhere. But Hebrews 4 says that God's word cuts through the feelings, and it penetrates to the core of our being. It exposes the difference between religious emotion and spiritual truth. And it exposes, according to the text, it exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Have you ever sat in a church service or read a verse that felt like it was piercing you? That's the Machaira. It's God bypassing your worthy, quote unquote, worthy exterior and pointing directly at the pride or the unbelief or the hidden sin that you've been protecting. Back to Hebrews 4, verse 13 is where it starts to get heavy. It says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes." Now, the word exposed here is the Greek word trachelizo. It's related to the word that we have for trachea, your throat. It's a graphic word, and it was used in two different ways. Number one, to describe a wrestler grabbing his opponent by the throat, forcing his head back so that the victim could look his victor in the eye. But number two, the idea of being exposed before God, trachelizo, is describing a sacrificial animal having its neck pulled back so the priest could see exactly where to make the cut. I told you it was graphic. And I know what you might be thinking. You're saying, wait, I don't want to be naked and exposed. I don't want to be laying there on the sacrificial altar with my neck pulled back. I don't want to be in a headlock with a wrestler grabbing me around the throat. I think especially for like someone who's trying to be a good Mormon, this idea of being fully seen with all your doubts and with all your mess and with everything on your shelf, it's terrifying. But this is where you realize that exposure is the first step of grace. If you go to a doctor with a lump and you refuse to take off your shirt, the doctor can't help you. You're protected, you're not exposed, but you're dying and you're not going to get any help. The Bible teaches that God isn't exposing us to humiliate us. He's not a bishop looking for a reason to take away our temple recommend. He's a surgeon looking for the cancer of sin so he can remove it. Now, I could hear the pushback from a good Mormon. You're thinking, wait, this sounds exactly like what we teach. We believe that we're accountable to God for every thought, every word, every deed. That's why we have worthiness interviews. That's why we want to make sure that we meet with our bishop so that we can be honest and exposed before our leaders. But there's a massive difference between accountability and worthiness-based inspection. In the LDS system, you're exposed to a man, a bishop, to determine if you can access God's blessings. So when a bishop is meeting with you, that cut feels like condemnation or social shame. But in Hebrews, you're exposed not by a man, but you're exposed by God and his word. And notice the context of the next verse, we'll get to this next time, by the way, we're exposed to a God who has a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. So the soul surgery of God's word doesn't lead to a probationary period, it leads to rest. God exposes your hidden motives, the way you do good things just to be seen by others, or the way you hold on to bitterness, not so that he can kick you out of like the celestial kingdom, but so that he can heal the heart that is driving those behaviors. Now, why the surgery? Well, the answer is simple. When you really understand the biblical message, we need surgery because untreated sin is deadly. I mean, think about my appendectomy. The surgeon didn't just sit me down and talk to my appendix. He didn't give me a self-help book. He cut my appendix out because it was going to kill me if left inside. And there are things in our lives, especially religious pride and legalism, not to mention all the hidden sin that every single Mormon deals with. There are things in our lives that cannot be improved. They have to be surgically removed. God's word cuts the joint and the marrow. It separates our actions from our motives. God's word cuts through the thoughts and desires. It shows us that God doesn't just care if we kept the word of wisdom. He cares why we are trying to earn his favor in the first place. If you're a seeker today, if you feel cut to the heart, if you feel like the walls of your religious tradition are crumbling and you feel exposed, don't run. That pierced feeling is the invitation of the living word. And let me finish with one more observation. The most beautiful part of this soul surgery is the person holding the knife, the surgeon. Jesus is the living logos. He's the one who cuts to heal. But remember, before Jesus ever picked up the scalpel to operate on your soul, he went under the knife for you and for me. See, the Bible teaches that on the cross, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was the sacrificial lamb whose neck was laid bare under the judgment of God. He took the cut that we deserved so that his cuts in our lives would only ever be for our healing. So you don't have to hide from the word anymore. You don't have to put a spin on your motives. You're already fully seen. And in Christ, you and I are already fully loved. Let God's word do its work. Let the surgeon in. It might hurt for a minute, but it's the only way to truly live. Read Hebrews chapter 4 for yourself, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.